Our lesson for today is taken from the first letter of St. Peter, the third chapter, verses 18 and 19. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, in the final days of World War II, as the Soviet army, the Russians, were coming from the eastern side toward Berlin, the Western Allies were also coming from the west side toward Berlin and were planning to kind of meet there. And the Soviet army came across some concentration camps and saw just this horrible, wicked devastation of the extermination that had been done to many of the Jewish people and crimes that they had just never witnessed before. Just the abuse of human beings and bodies just scattered all over, people that were just such horrific views of people that were just emaciated from not having been fed. And they began to send reports about this to the Western Army, the Allies who were coming in on the other side of Berlin, to try to describe these atrocities. But because they sounded so horrific, the Western Allies, many of them didn't believe it. And it wasn't until they finally got there and saw how horrible things were that the reality of this started to sink in. Their disbelief of such a horrible place did not make it go away, even though it was beyond their conception and ability to think of. The Pew Research Society and Gallup Polling and Christianity Today magazine have all done polls on Americans today regarding their views of hell, whether hell exists. And presently, between 40 and 45% of Americans do not believe that a place like hell exists. Those of you that are college students, just in your lifetime, the amount of people, the percentage of people who believe in the existence of hell has dropped 15%. And you can probably predict that as you get older in life, that number is going to drop even more. But the growing denial of hell's existence doesn't make it go away, doesn't make it disappear, even though it may sound so horrific that it's hard for some people to believe it could actually exist. And sad to say, many people are going to find out too late that there is such a place that exists. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the unbeliever, because of his lack of faith in the Savior, cries out from hell, "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." The prophet Isaiah, Jesus quotes him in the book of Mark, and he writes about hell, and he says, "There is a worm that never dies, and the fire that is never quenched." So hell's existence is a reality. It's clearly laid out and defined in Scripture. It is not just a minor little thing that's brought up here and there. It is something that goes through all the pages of Scripture as well. And there are two or three passages that deal with our Lord's descent into hell, with his going down into hell. All three of the early creeds that we have in the early history of the Christian church clearly state about Christ's descent into hell. But the purpose of his descent into hell is actually for our comfort. This is part of his exaltation, the first step of his being exalted and lifted back up. It's not part of his humiliation coming down to suffer for us. And it may seem like it should be because it's talking about hell. But the hell that our Lord suffered, which you and I deserve for our sins, he did already on the cross. When he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is the hell, the abandonment, being abandoned by God is ultimately what hell is about. But our Lord here in the text that I just read to you from Peter is being described as part of his exaltation. His purpose of going down into hell is not to suffer for our sins. That's already been accomplished and already been taken care of by this time. But it actually is part now of his great exaltation. And so early on Easter morning, he chose to be released from death and to take his first steps down into the abyss of hell and to descend into the souls of the damned and to proclaim his victory over all of the powers of hell on behalf of heaven and on behalf of all of his believers. There's an Olympic sprinter by the name of Usain Bolt, who is considered to be maybe the greatest runner or fastest runner in history. He is an 8-time Olympic gold medalist, and he comes from the tiny country of Jamaica. And every time he would win a victory, other athletes do this too, he would go and grab the flag of his country and wrap himself in it and take a tour around the entire stadium to show that he was triumphant and also to show that he was representing his country and all of those whose thoughts and minds and prayers were with him as he went through all of this. The risen Christ, upon coming alive again from death, wraps himself in the flag of heaven. And he sets aside in his tomb his resurrection clothing. It is folded nice and neatly. And now takes on the glorified robe of his righteousness. And he goes down and parades through the streets of hell in order to show his triumphant victory over all of those powers. And he's not only representing himself at that moment, but all of those who are citizens of heaven above who have faith in him. And so his proclamation of his victory that day was being done on your behalf. In just a few moments, we're going to be singing the beautiful ancient hymn, the Te Deum. And I love the line in there. It says, "When he had overcome the sharpness of death, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers." When I was a little boy, the house that we were living in down in Iowa was an old house, and it had a coal-burning furnace in it. And I remember that there was a little window in it about the size of a credit card made out of Pyrex glass so that you could actually look in to see how much more coal would be needed to keep this burning and to heat your house. And every once in a while, I would pull out a little stool, and I would stand up there and peek into that burning furnace. And I'd try to think to myself, what in the world is hell like? What must it be like to be in hell? Just think how wonderful it is that we have a Savior who has spared us from ever having to know that, who has triumphed over that, and has won not only a victory over hell, but has given you a place in heaven that is as far away from hell as you could ever be. There's a chapel in Ravenna, Italy, built in the 500s that has a mosaic of Jesus at his resurrection, and he's standing with one heel on a lion and another heel on a snake, the two images of the devil that there are. This week in the church year, we celebrate the triumph of Christ over the powers of hell. The same triumph that our Lord had that day continues for you and me today by faith in him. Those who have been wrapped in the flag of that same beautiful heavenly country that we're looking forward to. Because as Paul says to us, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there.